four little chapters, but by my, what chapters. I don't know where I first came across it. It could be I heard somebody else say it. It might have been that I read it. Describe this little book as the Christian's joy book. Four chapters, real easy. And many have been the time when my joy was a little bit down for one reason or another. And I've gone there and just read those four chapters and just let them soak in a little bit. Wow, beautiful stuff. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the promises in your word, the blessings that it brings to us. Give me a freedom and ease to speak. Help me to be clear and help fill us with the Holy Spirit and ease burdens that are here. Ease fears that are here. And Lord, may somebody seek your face. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you have come to me at different times and you're burdened about something and you're down and unhappy. And what I did was just give you the Christian's Joy book. I said, go read Philippians. And I don't mean just read it one time. I mean just stick in those four chapters until you get happiness. And when you find out what God is saying in there, wow, what a promise. All tremendous promises. And in fact, it's a beautiful thing to study the prayers of Paul. They're written down in the Word of God, and my, that man knew how to pray. Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Notice that's plural, bishops, and it's deacons plural, with along with the people. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what grace is? Do you have any idea what grace is? Grace is one of the most wonderful words in the world and one of my blessings, the grace of God. That means I get things I don't deserve. I'm going to go to heaven, but I don't deserve to go to heaven. Peace. Peace with God. Man, I tell you what, peace with anybody. You got troubles with your brother or your sister, you got a problem with work or someplace like that. Why, it's nice to get peace instead of being in a turmoil all the time and fussing and whatever. I've known people that have not talked to some of their brother in 40 years. I had one man that hadn't talked to one his oldest son in 20 years. And I convinced him to, he said, well, that's my son. He ought to come. I said, no, it's you. You're the dad. Now you put it together. And then he brought his son out to meet me. They got together. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Grace. The unmerited favor of God.
Yeah.
You don't deserve it.
Right.
You never did deserve it. I remember when I was a young kid and I made a profession of faith in the Methodist Church where I was going. I was about 11 years old or whatever. And I would think, well, now when God gets all of us judged around, you know, the very best down to the very worst, and where is he going to draw the line? Will I make it? You ever thought anything like that? Will I make it? The grace of God says he died for me and he came for me And he saved my soul. He forgave my sins.
Amen.
They're all forgiven.
Amen.
I'm not lining up on we're going to so many people get in and so many people not make it in.
Right.
That's a fact of life and a fact of eternity. But you think about it, nobody's getting in because they made the right things, all the decisions in their life.
Right.
Nobody is getting in because they were so good.
Right.
Not a single person can do that but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's why taking Jesus, a lot of people take offense when you say the only way you can get to God is through Jesus Christ. But that's exactly what the Bible tells you.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved. Praise the Lord. Grace be unto you. Grace means I don't deserve it, that I have these blessings that have come to me, that enrich me, that make me happy, give me peace of mind, and I don't deserve them. You don't deserve them. I know some of you think you do, but you don't.
Right.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. That's a big thing. Everybody in here knows he's a sinner. I think you ought to know you're a sinner. I've certainly lived as a sinner. So have you. And I'm thankful for forgiveness of sins. Now, how do you get forgiveness of sins? Not by any works that we can do.
Amen.
Jesus Christ come and lived the perfect life. Fulfilled the law of God. And then gave himself upon the cross of Calvary. He asked several times for God to take it away from him, that he wouldn't have to do it this way. But he said there was no other way. He had to pay the debt. The debt for sin. The debt to get the righteousness of God applied to your account. Wow. Thank God that if you come to Jesus Christ and take him as your Lord and Savior, God puts you under the righteousness of Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Christ come and lived, and there, even there, as you were coming to the cross of Calvary, he prayed to God, is there another way? Is there possible another way? Other than me being made sin and dying. And he said, I'm going to obey to my Father.
Yep.
And because he obeyed his Father, I have his righteousness.
Amen.
I'm not going up there on my righteousness. I'm not going up on to heaven because I preach the gospel and been doing it for over 60 years. I'm going there because I have Jesus as my substitute.
Amen.
Jesus' righteousness has been applied to my account.
Thank you, Lord.
Makes me a son of God and an heir of heaven. And forgiveness of all my sins, even the sins that I commit today. When my mind is not right, or my heart is not right, or I'm tempted in some way or another. Grace. Grace, that means you don't work for it.
Amen.
Grace means you don't deserve it. And grace means that it's all a gift.
Amen.
And the Bible says, the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
It's stated so clearly that I don't know how we could think about our own works. I don't know how that we would try to live, think we're good enough that we could possibly please God. Well, we can't. The only way we can please God is to take Jesus Christ as our Savior and trust Him and serve Him and recognize Him. Saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Grace is a wonderful thing. Now, the man that wrote this book was a very well-educated man. Very unusual even in his day. And Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. I believe he was the one that started the church at Philippi. He went in there preaching. Well, now who is this man, this Apostle Paul? He's a man that killed Christians. He's a man that went and threw them in jail, in prison. He was a man that was convinced he was right, and he was convinced that he could torture people, be mean to people, throw them in jail. He said that God made him an example. Well, I would think it'd take a lot more grace to save Paul than it would to save me. I don't think I ever was as bad as him. I doubt if any of you were. Grace, God's grace, was big enough to save Paul. And if it was big enough to save Paul and make Paul a Christian and make him righteous and a servant of Jesus Christ, it ought to be big enough for you. Grace is a wonderful thing. I'm very thankful for grace. He says in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Do you ever think to thank God when you pray? You ought to be thanking God. In fact, that's what you ought to be doing very first thing that you do when you bow down to pray. You ought to thank God that you're in the situation you're in and that He's around to help. Anyway, Paul got a lot of grace. He took a lot, I would think, more grace to save him than to save me. Maybe not. All this grace that's given to Paul, he's a direct enemy of Christ. He is there at consenting to the death of James, the brother of John. He's got people killed and put in prison and torn up churches and all the things that he did. And on this road, Christ appears, drops him to the ground, blinds him. That's a lot of grace. I would say that's about as big as any come. And in fact, Paul says he was an example. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he, this is God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. What a promise.
Amen.
Yeah, you can get burdened for problems in this life. We've got a lot of problems in this life. Some of them we really don't know how to handle. God Almighty understands all of that. And you know something? He gave enough grace for Paul to be changed and transformed into an apostle of Jesus Christ, a preacher of the gospel. And here's what he said in talking to the Philippian people. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, I know sometimes you think, am I going to make it? Can I hang on to the end? Am I ever going to get out of this situation that I'm in? There's lots of problems. Living brings with it problems. Having kids brings with it problems. In your job, the things that happen at all times, there's sometimes problems. And you're burdened and you can't sleep. Well, I've got a confidence here. Being confident of this very thing. What are you confident of? That he, this is God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a promise. God is not going to let you go.
Thank you, Lord.
God is going to listen to your troubles. He knows your troubles and your fears, and you're going to go through many trials and tribulations. You really are.
Yes.
I like what that brings to my mind. being confident of this very thing, which he which hath begun the good work, well, that's God, will perform it. He's going to finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to turn loose. You know, God tells you, you're in my hand. And the devil can't catch you out of my hand. You've got burdens and your heart's hurting. Well, God knows that. He has your feeling. He knows your burdens. He knows your prayers that need to be answered, and some of them will not be answered the way you want. But does that make a difference? I don't think so. Being confident of this very thing. Isn't this a beautiful verse? You need to read that when you think you can't come out. You need to read that when you think you're helpless and hopeless. Right. Confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work. Man, God did some changing in my life. Amen. Did he change your life?
Amen.
If he changed your life, then man, you know what it is. It's a blessing.
Amen.
You're part of the family of God. You're on the road to heaven, not to hell.
Amen.
And the trials and troubles that we have in this life are not to be compared to what is waiting on us in heaven. Wow. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at God. A telescope that they spend millions of dollars on and send out there. Ask them, what in the world did you learn from this? That the universe is a whole lot bigger than we thought it was. And it was big enough then. That's amazing to me. Just how big is that out there? Well, do you think he can take care of your little problems? I think he can. He began the good work. He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now he says in verse 7, I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel. Look at this little phrase. Ye all are partakers of my grace. Ye all are partakers of my grace. Now, Paul had a lot of grace. He knew it. He knew God was doing something with him and through him. And he said here that the Philippians are partakers of his grace. Think about that for a minute. You, by being saved, it's by grace. God gave a great deal of grace for you to be saved. You're a partaker of the grace of the person that came by your house and knocked on your door.
Amen.
Some of you come around here on Saturdays and you stack tracks together and put them on a door hanger. And then you go out and hang them on doors. And somebody that gets saved from that participates in your grace. Thought about that? That's such a beautiful thought to me. What a comforting thought that I'm partaker of the grace of the person that led me to the Lord, or that pointed me there, or that worked and witnessed to me, or that prayed for me, or that paid for the track, or that paid for the dinner. Ye all, he says, ye all are partakers of my grace. He's talking to the Philippian church, and he's saying, the grace of God that came to me, I've shared it with you. I've put it out there. You partake, you enjoy, you get some of the results of the grace that God did when he saved me. Wow. That's a beautiful thought. God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Love is what we need to have in our hearts.
Amen.
You know most about love being your family. And if you didn't have a family that was loving, then you've really been lost. God Almighty in His love found a way to save souls, to forgive sins, to transform lives, and to use you and the grace of God that He's given you to be a blessing even in this life. They partake of your grace. That's an amazing, beautiful thing to me. He says, in this I pray, verse 9, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Wow. Paul is praying for the Philippians that their love would abound. That's something. I need a lot of love. I don't know about you.
Amen.
One of the biggest things, one of the most wonderful things in my life is the love that I've known. And the love of God, wow. You couldn't pay it back. You couldn't earn it. God gave His Son to die in my place. I remember reading the first time of Abraham taking Isaac and going up for a sacrifice. I could not imagine it. I could not imagine it. I couldn't think of any one of my five children that I would give even for me or for somebody else. And God gave His Son. Came into this world to go to the cross of Calvary to pay the debt, to establish the righteousness that could be preached in all the world as the best news ever come. Wow. That's a love that I don't understand that much. How are you partakers of my grace? Well, the churches He started, the love He had for them, His prayers for them. God has given you grace. The preachers, the teachers, the people that prayed for you, the witnesses, the people that passed out the tracts, that take a meal to your house or comfort you when you're having a problem. These are all witnesses to His grace. Because if Paul hadn't have gone before them, they wouldn't have that. They got it because Paul is not now putting people in prison. He's preaching to them and he's witnessing to them. Wow. They're partakers of your grace. In verse 10, he says that you may approve things that are excellent. I see people sometimes that still have a lot of cussing and trash in their language. And it just doesn't look like they know the Lord. Now, maybe they do. I've heard tales of people that they do. But, you know, knowing Jesus ought to change the way you talk.
Amen.
Being saved ought to change the way you live.
Amen.
Having a part of the grace of God that it took to save the Apostle Paul, well, it ought to change your life. You ought to speak different. You ought to pray different. You ought to think different. You ought to act different. You ought to live different.
Amen.
He also said, this I pray, that your love may abound in more, yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgments. Big love. Wow. Love is a wonderful thing.
Yes,
Amen. It may be the most wonderful thing that I've ever experienced. It's to know love. I had a loving family and had a loving wife. I have loving kids. I've got a loving church. Praise God.
Amen.
Love, beautiful.
Amen.
You ought to work real hard not to lose that.
Yeah, amen.
You ought to confess anything, any, having problems with your sister, your brother, your mother, your father. Everybody, we're human beings. We're going to have problems.
Yeah.
We need to look at things with the right perspective. The love of God. Wow. That changes everything. And then he says, verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent. I would like that the church, in their witness, in their testimony, would approve things that are excellent. Not just other things. And you know, I've heard a lot of trash about what goes on in certain churches and whatever, and certain families that are supposedly Christians. But I don't want a testimony like that.
Right. Amen.
You ought to approve things that are excellent. And without offense until the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. You need a testimony. There's some things you need to give up. There's some things you need to just plain quit. You ought to take your possibility of witnessing to people or people looking at you, knowing you profess to be a Christian. You ought to be living like it.
Amen.
And when you read something like this, that ought to be what good enough to make you pray and ask for forgiveness and to take some things out of your life. Some of the things that I've taken out of my life, I am so happy they're gone.
Amen.
I'm happy they're gone.
Amen.
I don't have that problem anymore. And you can be that way. If you're not that way, get that way.
Amen.
And then B, let somebody have a part of your grace. You have the grace of God. God has forgiven you.
Amen.
You're saved. You're changed. You're going to heaven. Jesus Christ is your Lord. Change your life to where it looks like it.
Amen.
Amen. If you're here today and you're not saved, Jesus Christ can save your soul right now.
Amen.
He's in this room. There are plenty of people that have had the grace of God and they could witness and tell you. They couldn't have done it years ago, but oh, after God's moved upon their heart and upon their life and answered prayer for 20 years, yes, they could tell you. I hope you live to be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Lord, bless the word that is in our minds this morning. Draw us to you. Forgive us of our stupidity, our failure, our sin. And Lord, transform our testimony to where it wouldn't have any mistakes in it. Many hurts. If there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, touch their heart and bless them. Draw them to your word and save their souls. And thank you, Lord, for the grace of God.
Amen.
Salvation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.